Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets here in studio with Angela Bachman and Aaron McClellan. And guys, we have been having a lot of fun today.
Yeah, it's been a great day. Thanks,
absolutely.
Brittany.
And on the line with us right now, we have Buck Gino back with us. Buck, welcome back.
It's always good to be with you, ladies.
Always good to be with you, too. And we understand you brought a friend with you today.
I sure did. A longtime friend, actually. I brought state representative from the 75th District, Brandon Dillon. Brandon, welcome to the Union Edge.
Great to be back. Thanks for having me.
We enjoy having you on. You know, we've been having a little fun today. I wanted to touch on something. We've been talking about some of the campaign ads and some of the ones that were directed toward women. But there was one campaign ad that we didn't speak to, and it was one in regards that you made a comment about in, I believe, in a House race a little bit south, and where the actual phone number was basically given to a candidate's 91-year-old mother. Tell us a little about that ad.
Yeah, well, this was one, you know, I've been involved in a lot of campaigns at the local, state, national level, and I've seen a lot of, you know, crazy things and some underhanded, dirty campaign tactics. But this, by far, was the most despicable thing that I've ever seen. The Michigan Republican Party has been sending out a series of mailers against Democratic candidates, trying to link them to Obamacare and the president, whether or not they were, you know, have ever been in office, or whether or not they have ever made any public statements on healthcare policy. So we've expected that, and for the most part, they'll put the candidate's number on there, and they'll direct people to call that candidate and complain about whatever issue they're mailing on. Well, this time they decided, they did a piece where it says, it has a picture of a gentleman with a hypodermic needle, and it says, "Obamacare will leave you bedridden. Please call this number," and the number that they give rings at the bedside of the candidate's 91-year-old mother in hospice care. So they sent callers to harass a 91-year-old dying woman to tell her that Obamacare would leave her bedridden. It took 24 hours for the Republican Party to even issue a half-hearted apology. The Republican candidate in the race has basically said nothing other than, well, I hope nobody does anything like this. It was really despicable. It's been picked up nationally, and it's just an example of, you know, there's no depth to which these people won't sink to try to win an election.
So it rings to the number of a bedridden 91-year-old woman. Amazing.
That is correct. Right to her bedside table in hospice care in Portage, Michigan.
I, like you, have been involved in politics a long time, and you're right. It reaches an all-time low. Well, anyway, Brandon, there's something else that's going on in Michigan, and I wanted to have you speak to it a little bit. Basically, correct me if I'm wrong, the prison system has been privatized, correct? Or they have an outside company managing.
Yeah, they contracted up all the food service in Michigan prison. So instead of having professional corrections officers, unionized corrections officers who are trained to deal with all the different situations that go on in a correctional facility, the state a few years ago, over the objections of a lot of people, mostly Democrats, including me, said this is really a bad idea. This is not going to pay off. You're going to see problems with these privatized workers who come in who, you know, it's a dangerous situation. And everything that we said has happened since this contract was awarded to Aramark. There have been, of the 300 employees that they started with, I think over 85 have been dismissed for inappropriate behavior. There was a prisoner escape in one of the facilities where the prisoner was able to secure the uniforms of the privatized kitchen workers to be able to sneak out. There's been reports of inappropriate sexual conduct between students and these workers. There's been reports of people smuggling drugs into prisoners in there. And most recently, a privatized prison kitchen worker is under investigation for soliciting a murder-for-hire plot within the prison that they worked. As if this wasn't all enough, the governor refuses to acknowledge that this is a problem. We've called on him to cancel the contract at the very least, put it out for bid, we would like to see it go back to the people who operated the kitchen smoothly for the last 30 years, but at the very least to cancel the contract. And their response has been, no, we'll just fix the problem. Everything's going well. So it's a real scandal. It's a real problem. And not only is prisoner safety and the safety inside the prisons in jeopardy, but it also impacts public safety around those facilities if you have situations that can get overheated and overblown and can explode.
Well, there was some recent legislation that was presented, right, by Representative Colleen Lamonte. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
She offered a resolution to immediately cancel the contract. That was co-sponsored, I think, by nearly every Democratic representative. Republicans in Michigan have circled the wagons to try to protect the governor from this debacle. I offered an amendment in an appropriations committee recently to cancel the contract. That was rejected. My amendment was before this latest murder-for-hire plot was discovered. Representative Lamonte's was afterwards. You would think there'd be a couple people with a conscience or at least some political sense that this is a disaster, for our prison system. It's a disaster for the image of public employees and people who work hard for state government. And it really is a testament to the governor's philosophy that wherever we can get something the cheapest, let's get it without any consideration for quality or value.
These are privatized workers basically taking over for the food service workers that were in the prison. And they are basically, I'm just trying to figure out why that we can't get the governor to, did he read the same paper? Does he talk to the same people that we do?
Well, I don't think he talks to the same people we do, Buck, and people who are listening. He has a very small circle of friends and advisors who are, people who all come from the corporate world where questioning their decisions is not really part of the culture. There's also questions about how much money Aramark and its employees and executives have contributed to the governor through his now-closed Nerd Fund, which was a secretive account where corporations and others were giving heavy donations to the governor. I would not be surprised at all if there was money that had gone through there, but because the governor refuses to disclose the donors, we'll probably never know. But it just seems to me either the governor is incompetent or he's protecting a political donor, either of which are really bad options.
So was there ever any penalty put on this Aramark for their indiscretions, or did they basically get a free pass?
That's a great question, because back in about March, there was, after the first reports of not only the inappropriate behavior between Aramark employees and prisoners, but also reports of maggots in the prison food and other really unhealthy conditions, which can cause a real health issue that's going to cost taxpayers money and not only impact the quality of food, but, the tensions that can arise in the prison. Aramark was given a $98,000 fine because of all the problems. Unfortunately, without telling anybody, the governor canceled that fine. So they announced the fine, said that this was corrective action, and a few days later they suspended the fine. A couple months later, when we're finding out now about drug smuggling and other really strange activity that's going on there, we found that they've been fined $200,000. We assume that they've paid that. But, there's questions given the history of the governor's disciplinary or lack of disciplinary action taken on this company. There's questions about the governor's chief of staff communicating with people in the prison system, asking about, quote unquote, the investment value of Aramark. It's just the whole thing is sleazy. It's a real great example of what happens when you rush to privatize jobs in the public sector that when you pay people when you pay people a really low wage and don't give them any benefits, the idea that you're going to expect them to perform their job with anything other than the least amount of effort possible, seems like that should be something that people understand intuitively. Apparently the governor and his friends just think people don't deserve better wages, that they should be lucky enough to get any job, and they'll do whatever they can for $9 an hour, and unfortunately that doesn't work in the real world.
We're speaking to Brandon Dillon, state representative of Michigan. When we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit about right to work in Michigan and if it has done any effect at all. This is the Union Edge, and I'm Buck Chino. We'll be back in a minute.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. They're more efficient than the old bulbs, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Me, a cat, moving in with a single guy. At first, I thought it might be a little weird, but turns out it's actually pretty amusing. For instance, like my human's gotten so used to me being around, sometimes I think he forgets I'm here. He'll get up for work, shower, shave, and come out with no pants. Plops right down in front of the TV. Hello, there's a lady in the room.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of Rad. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. And remember, don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
It's not always easy being a dad.
When's the fairy princess coming?
Any minute now.
What? What do you mean she's not coming?
But it's always worth it.
It's the fairy princess!
It is I!
Groom Zinkelbell!
Yay!
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
I know it's really you, Drew. I'm just pretending for the other kids.
Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4-DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is John Acosta, Vice President of the American Federation of Musicians, Local 47. Tune in to the only all-union music station streaming 24 hours a day from Hollywood. Go to promusic47.org and click the radio icon.
I'm Rachel Ray, and food is not only the way I make my living, it's how I spend time with my family and friends. It's hard to imagine true hunger, but sadly, 1 in 6 Americans don't know where their next meal will come from. They're your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. Visit feedingamerica.org/hunger to find out how you can make a difference. I'm Rachel Ray, and together we are Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. I've been here with Brittany Sheets and Aaron McClellan today. And right now, we have Buck Gino, who has a special guest with him. Buck, welcome back.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, ladies, always.
We love having you. Who'd you bring with you today?
I have Brandon Dillon from the 75th House District in out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Brandon, we really appreciate you being on. Thanks for coming.
I love being on. Thanks for having me.
You know, Brandon, before the break, we were talking about some of the indiscretions of the governor and his unwillingness to acknowledge things and supposedly hiding things through his nerf gun. But one of the things that happened in Michigan and you were very vocal about the situation, is they passed right-to-work legislation here in the state. And, you know, we've talked to a lot of the groups from organized labor, and for the most part, they said that it really hasn't affected them one way or the other. I'm going to ask you, has right-to-work, because we were promised, or the residents of Michigan were promised, that this was going to create all these jobs and all these companies were going to come to Michigan because of right to work. Do you see that happening?
No, and nobody sees it happening. The fact of the matter is we just saw the national unemployment rate dip below 6% for the first time in 6 years. Michigan still continues to hover over 7.5%. We have the fifth highest unemployment rate in the nation. When Governor Snyder took over, we had the fifth highest unemployment rate in the nation. They promised that these laws would be a big job boom to Michigan. It hasn't happened. And the fact of the matter is because nowhere does right to work guarantee that your economy is going to be better. And in most cases, your economy is usually worse with lower pay, lower literacy rates, higher unemployment. If you look at the last, if you look at the 10 lowest per capita states for per capita income, 7 of them are right to work. If you look at the states with the highest unemployment rates right now, a majority of them are right to work states. It is a misnomer of the highest order. This is nothing more than an opportunity for big CEOs who hate the power of organized labor to get the upper hand at the bargaining table. In Michigan, it was really targeted at public employees the most, particularly teachers unions, which have seen a real negative impact because of right to work. And essentially, it's just a power play to strike at one of the power bases of Democrats in Michigan and across the country. In the short term, it's making it difficult for Democrats to do a lot of the things we used to do. But in the long term, I think the effect is going to be bad for the economy, but good for Democrats and workers, because I think it will re-energize and refocus people's attention that when people who get elected have anti-labor intentions, that they will actually act on them. And that we have to make sure we get people elected who can repeal right to work, who can restore unemployment benefits, who can fix workers' comp laws that get gutted every time these clowns get in office. So in the short term, it's tough, hasn't had any good economic impact. It won't. But in the long term, I think for the labor movement and Democrats in general, we can turn it into a positive if we use it as a strong organizing tool.
Well, you mentioned something, too, also about the workman's comp law. And to be a little bit more specific, they basically cut unemployment from 26 to 20 weeks. So, but let's talk a little bit about, we were remiss if we didn't talk about your campaign. How's it going?
Pretty good. I'm lucky in the sense that I have a pretty safe Democratic seat. I've been focusing most of my time as chair of the House Democrats Campaign Committee, making sure that I'm working on elections across the state to reelect and elect new Democrats so that we can have a Democratic majority again after November and start to turn back the clock on all the craziness that's gone on here in Michigan the last 3 years. I'm working hard to get Mark Schauer elected governor and all the other statewide Democrats elected, despite, the national mood not being great. In some states, in Michigan, our eyes are firmly on the Republican power structure that has controlled everything for the last 4 years, and we have great opportunities to take out the governor and also get a Democratic House majority back, which means we can start repealing and some of these really draconian laws, and we can also start building a positive progressive agenda for people who work for a living.
You know, I would like if you spend just a couple minutes on the fact that if we don't mobilize, if we don't get registered to vote and we don't go out and vote, what are some of the things we could look forward to from this Republican legislator and governor?
Yeah, I mean, look, the stakes couldn't be any higher. Right to work was kind of the culmination of their anti-labor agenda, but they're not done yet. They have eyes on changing the way electoral college votes are enacted in Michigan to make it so that Republicans who haven't won here since 1988 can at least walk away with a significant share of electoral college votes, even when they lose. They have eyes on repealing Michigan's prevailing wage law. You know, there is no benefit to the middle class and working families that is not on their target list. You know, anything that benefits people who are working hard for a living, raising families, trying to put food on the table, any sort of benefit that they get for that is on the table. It doesn't matter what it is. We wouldn't be surprised at anything they do if they are able to retain power. That's why we're working so hard to make sure that they don't.
You know, you mentioned something, and I've heard the little whispers about prevailing wage, but I've also heard little whispers about, in the end, obviously I serve as a township official, but I still believe that there's talk about consolidations on township levels and cities and counties. So have you heard that little rumor?
Haven't heard that one as much lately. It's something that's floated around from time to time. That one, look, anything's possible. I never thought we'd have right to work. I never thought we were going to raise taxes on senior citizens to pay for big corporate tax cuts. And I never thought we'd cut education by $1 billion in the state of Michigan. But all those things unfortunately happened. So while I haven't heard anything specific on that, at this point, I'm a little more cynical than I probably was 4 years ago and will tell you that anything is possible.
So if someone wanted to help you and get involved in your campaign, how would they do that?
They should contact me, but also contact the Michigan Democratic Party or any of the coordinated campaigns around Michigan. They're doing incredible work. I'm actually at one of the offices right now. The Get Out the Vote operation that we have already started and have been working on for the last 6 weeks is unprecedented in Michigan. We've got an incredibly strong ground game. We're going to get people to vote by absentee ballot that didn't vote in 2010. And those that don't vote by absentee ballot, we're going to make sure that we drag them out of their house on election day to vote for Democrats.
A couple of minutes on the online registration and voting. What about that?
Yeah, the Michigan Democratic Party has pioneered technology to allow people to apply for an absentee ballot right on their smartphone or tablet. There were a few kinks that had to be worked out, but the thing is fully operational now. Anybody can go to miabsentee.com. You type in your name, your address, your zip code, and then you sign, tell the reason why you are requesting an absentee ballot, sign with your finger. It goes directly to your clerk, and you'll get an absentee ballot. It really is an incredible technology. MI, like Michigan, absentee.com. It's working. It's going to ensure that we get people who may not be the easiest people to get out and vote. We're going to make voting as easy as possible for them.
The address of the coordinated campaign?
That one I don't have on the top of my head, but if you just call the Michigan Democratic Party, they can get people hooked up to the coordinated campaign in their area.
Once again, the connection to the online registration?
miabsentee.com.
Okay, Brandon, we got about a minute left. Any last words?
No, just, I think every time we have an election, we say it's the most important election we've ever had, and that's because they usually are. What happens in the last election really determines what's going to happen in the next election. Sometimes we're trying to protect things that we've fought for. Sometimes we're trying to repeal things that have been put upon us. This is one of those elections where if we don't win and we don't take back some of the power in Michigan, we can look at another 4 years of really bad policy, not just for everybody in Michigan, but particularly for working families and members of organized labor. So get out and vote, get your friends, have them vote early by absentee if they're able to, and make sure you just spread the message that this year your vote counts more than ever.
One last time, the online address?
Absolutely. miabsentee.com.
With that, Brandon, we really do appreciate you being on our show today, and thank you for all you do. With that, for Charles Showalter, Angela Bachman, Brittany Sheets, Aaron McClellan, I'm Buck Gino, and we really do appreciate you listening to the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio.
In Texas, not all goobers are produced by peanut farmers. A bumper crop of some of our nuttiest goobers comes out of far right-wing political soil. Check out this blue ribbon specimen, Todd Staples. Carefully cultivated by corporate agribusiness powers, he's been the state agriculture commissioner for the past 8 years. But the vast majority of Texans don't know his name and had no idea he was a state official, since he's primarily been a behind-the-scenes operative for Big Food. But Todd suddenly sprang from obscurity early in September, unleashing a screed against an innocuous school cafeteria initiative called Meatless Mondays. Going one meal a week without meat is a sensible effort to help prevent the growing epidemic of childhood obesity. But Staples shrieked that it's a, quote, carefully orchestrated propaganda campaign by anti-animal agriculturalists hell-bent on brainwashing schoolchildren. He wailed that it's a devilish plot to eliminate meat from Americans' diets 7 days a week, starting with Mondays. Then Commissioner Meathead doubled down on dumb by proclaiming that the Meatless Mondays cabal could deprive our poor school children of their only source of protein for the day. That might be sad, except it's a lie. Beans, eggs, cheese, nuts, legumes, tofu, and quinoa are perfectly good sources of protein readily available in Texas. Shouldn't an agriculture commissioner know that? But then, Staples, who took more than $100,000 in campaign cash from the meat peddlers, has been the commissioner of agribusiness, not agriculture. This is Jim Hightower saying, and now he's neither. Todd has abruptly resigned his position, not out of embarrassment for his silly red meat rant, but to become a high-paid shill for the Texas oil and gas lobby. He can change one tinfoil hat for another, but Mr. Todd will always be a goober.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. The Coalition to Save Our Social Security Thursday unveiled 500,000 petition signatures demanding that Social Security field offices remain open in communities across America. The coalition consists of the American Federation of Government Employees, Social Security Works, and the Alliance for Retired Americans. They say budget cuts have degraded the Social Security Administration's ability to provide service to millions of baby boomers becoming retirement eligible. The coalition is insisting that field offices are vital to provide proper service to people eligible for Social Security. Public Citizens Global Trade Watch says the Obama administration's insistence on the investor-state dispute settlement clause in the Transatlantic Pact could scuttle the trade agreement between the EU and the U.S. Global Trade Watch's Lori Wess regime gives new powers to corporations to attack domestic policies in the U.S. and Europe. Wallach says Obama wants a parallel legal system for foreign corporations, and there is growing European opposition to it in the trade negotiations. The European Commission president, the German government, and several large voting blocs within the European Parliament have all voiced opposition to the ISDS, according to a new report from Global Trade Watch. In the U.S., opposition to the ISDS provisions giving corporations power to attack domestic policies includes labor, environmental, consumer, and health groups, as well as the Tea Party and libertarians. Wallach says a slew of domestic laws are being attacked in what she called these corporate tribunals. The SEIU-affiliated Workers United rallied in Brooklyn Thursday, calling on Marimont Corporation to negotiate a new deal for workers that includes fair wages and affordable health care. The low-wage, mostly immigrant workers prepare and deliver food to more than 200 schools. SEIU says Marimont has a terrible record as an employer, and the union asserts that Marimont owes more than $80 million in back wages to workers. In New York City, a bill has been introduced in city council to end the city's collaboration with what immigrant rights groups say is unjust deportation machinery. The bill would end New York City's cooperation in honoring hold requests by Immigration and Customs Enforcement placed on immigrants in city jails that ICE believes are subject to deportation. Currently, ICE can place these holds without judicial warrants. The New York City bill would stop that practice, refusing to honor holds unless a judge had issued a warrant for a subsection of immigrants who have been convicted of violent crimes.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
Workers Independent News is proud to be heard on The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio, live nationwide weekdays noon to 3 p.m. at theunionedge.com.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. For more information about the show, go to theunionedge.com.